Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kinsey Thompson.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
If we don't address that, we've already been warned numerous times, the state will come in and put us under a consent order.
The Moorhead City Council met last night and discussed a water rate increase.
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center will continue its regular hours throughout the summer.
La Rosa's Pizza is back in Lexington.
Today is the last day to request a mail-in absentee ballot for this month's primary.
The father of the missing 22-month-old child is opening up about his disappearance.
In sports, Rowan County softball team heads to Lewis County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 46 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
First reading of a 14% water rate increase for the Moorhead Utility Plant Board was approved by the Moorhead City Council on Monday night. The council agreed to yearly increases over 5 years to help replace failing water and sewer infrastructure. Last year, customers saw a 36% sewer increase. City residents expressed concern with the increase during the meeting. MUPB General Manager Holly McGrath Rosas says without the increases to make needed repairs, the board could face state takeover.
While most of our lines are operating at capacity, I have some places where when it rains, sewer shoots out of people's cleanouts in their yard and fills their yard with sewage. If we don't address that, we've already been warned numerous times, the state will come in and put us under a consent order. If you're under a state consent order, they give you time restraints on how quickly you have to fix the issue, which most definitely always leads to a federal consent order.
The motion passed 5-1 with Tom Carew voting against the increase. MUPB officials say the increase amounts to $4 per month for the average bill.
Moorhead City Council voted against annexing property near into the city during its regular monthly meeting on Monday. Property owner and developer Larry Breeze asked the city to annex property along Hallwood Drive and Brayton Branch. Breeze said the property had been considered and rejected by developers because it was not located within city limits. Council member Glenn Teager said his concern was with the water and landslides that occurred on the county roads running through the property.
I mean, the problem's always been there. It's a question of city, whether we want to take on something that could be a huge expense to city taxpayers. If we have to do something with that road and with the drainage. I mean, if it had been fixed years ago, and I'm not saying the county should have fixed it to anybody, but that's always been an issue. I mean, we just have to do it with our eyes open, is all I'm saying.
Council voted 3-3 in favor of annexing the property. Mayor Laura White Brown broke the tie by voting against the motion.
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center in Moorhead will remain open this summer. The KFAC offers a permanent collection of over 1,000 pieces of art crafted by Kentucky folk artists. It also has a gift shop, which includes several different gifts like original folk art, Kentucky Proud products, books, crafts, jewelry, and toys. Tammy Stone is with the Folk Arts Center. She says new merchandise arrives weekly.
We're getting new stuff in the gift shop every week, and we now are offering with the show of an MSU ID to students, faculty, and staff a 10% discount.
In addition to the museum and gift shop, the Folk Arts Center can also be utilized as venue space for events. The KFAC is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center will host a women's choir concert on May 18th. The concert will be held in the Lewis Apperson White Performance Hall in Mount Sterling. Beth Goldie is the administrative assistant for the Gateway Regional Arts Center. She says there is a different variety of music at the concert.
It is varied. They have some, I know, some Quaker music. They also have some contemporary music. It's just all genres.
The concert begins at 7 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for students.
A little slice of Cincinnati is officially back in Lexington. La Rosa's Pizza is a name synonymous with the greater Cincinnati area. Now the family restaurant chain is again serving up slices to Lexington customers. La Rosa's cut the ribbon Monday on its first location in Lexington in more than 40 years.
Well, I come from a big family, and it seemed like every time I turned around, there was somebody having a baby in the family, and this is what this is. It's like a newborn. You have to nurture it, you have to feed it and love it and care for it, and they grow up. And next you know, hopefully they take care of you.
That's La Rosa's founder, Buddy La Rosa, who was on hand for the grand opening. The new restaurant is on Richmond Road between Old Todd's Road and Mount Tabor Road next to Skyline Chili.
Today is the last day to request a mail-in absentee ballot for this month's primary. The Secretary of State says Kentuckians who cannot get to the polls May 21st have the option with absentee ballot. To use an absentee ballot, you must meet certain criteria to qualify, which can be found at govoteky.com. LAX 18 reports mailed ballots must be received by the county clerk by 6 p.m. local time on Election Day. You can still be eligible to vote early in person if you don't qualify. In-person absentee voting is open statewide and will finish on May 20th.
Kentucky's Democratic gubernatorial candidates debated again last night before the Commonwealth's primary election next week. The hour-long debate aired on KET last night, where Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear, House Minority Leader Rocky Atkins, and former Auditor Adam Edelin discussed a wide array of issues. One topic covered was the issue of health care accessibility in the state. Atkins says the expansion of Medicaid in the state is a major improvement for the lives of Kentuckians.
I would sit here and tell you today that the expansion of quality, affordable health care for those folks that have never been able to have access, that are working two and three jobs a day to take care of themselves and to take care of their families, and you know many of those folks. You work with them.
In regards to health care, Edelin criticized the Bevin administration's cabinet for health and family services, saying he would name new members as governor. Beshear says he would work to implement further protections for Kentuckians through policy change at the state level. The three will debate one final time tomorrow at the University of Kentucky. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Jenny's Embroidery Unlimited, 143 East Main Street in Moorhead. Embroidery Unlimited specializes in screen printing, embroidery, heat press, quilts, and blankets, wedding, anniversary, and baby gifts, custom-designed t-shirts, pullovers, hoodies, hats, and bags for athletic teams, Greek organizations, clubs, and businesses. Open at 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Embroidery Unlimited can be reached at 784-7000 and Facebook under Jenny's Embroidery Unlimited.
A Libertarian candidate is entering the race to become Kentucky's next governor. According to the Kentucky Secretary of State, John Hicks has filed for governor and will appear on the November ballot. His runner-mate is Ann Cormican. Hicks previously ran to become a member of the House of Representatives for the 43rd District back in 2018, but lost the race.
Kentucky's Attorney General has filed two lawsuits against 23 drug manufacturers. Andy Beshear made the announcement during a press conference yesterday. His office, along with several other attorney generals in the country, are seeking to recover money the companies made after they significantly raised the prices on over 100 prescription medications. LEX 18 was at the conference.
These costs are driven by the high and inflated cost of prescription drugs. Many Kentuckians have to choose and make choices that they should never have to make, deciding whether to get their prescription or keep the lights on, whether to put food on the table, pay their power bill, or get that necessary medicine they deserve to live. No one should have to make those decisions.
Along with the federal lawsuit, Beshear's office also filed suit against three insulin production companies in Franklin Circuit Court.
Kentucky education officials say standardized test scores are being invalidated at an elementary school in eastern Kentucky. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the decision comes after the Kentucky Department of Education launched an investigation of 2017 K-PREP test scores at Betsy Lane Elementary School in Floyd County. Results of the investigation released Monday said there was evidence that staff deliberately altered student exams and provided inappropriate assistance to improve scores. The report says three administrators and a teacher would be reported to Kentucky's Education Professional Standards Board, which oversees educators' state licenses. Kentucky Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis said he would characterize what the investigation found as cheating. Floyd County Superintendent Danny Atkins said he was reviewing the report and meeting with the school district's attorney to determine how to best address the problems.
Democratic senators in West Virginia announced a comprehensive education package Monday night that they will be proposing during next week's special legislative session focusing on education reform. Members announced that their version of an education reform package will consist of six separate bills opposed to earlier this year. That's when all education reform, from class size to pay raises and even charter schools, was put under one umbrella as a part of an education omnibus bill, which led to a two-day teacher strike. According to WSAZ, the bills will focus on addressing root social problems like drugs, restoring local flexibility to schools, class size, and teacher pay, as well as increasing vocational and technical education. Democrats say this plan is consistent with what they learned from education forums held around the state following the teacher work stoppage. Meanwhile, West Virginia House Speaker Roger Hanshaw, R. Clay, says he is hoping to hold a news conference on Wednesday about the GOP's plans for education reform.
The father of a Magoffin County toddler who went missing Sunday is trying to piece together what could have happened. Search crews tried to locate 22-month-old Kenneth Howard Monday, suspending the search after not finding any significant leads on his whereabouts. His father, Eldon Howard, tells WKYT he's completely puzzled.
Yeah, it's just like he disappeared. It's no sign, no nothing. That's the reason I'm starting to think we can't find him. Somebody's picked him up.
Volunteers are still at the scene trying to locate the child.
A federal judge has delayed the sentencing of a former Kentucky police officer who admitted to sexually abusing minors in the department's now-defunct youth program. The Courier-Journal reports U.S. District Judge David Hale delayed the sentencing Friday, saying the plea deal for ex-Louisville police officer Kenneth Betts was too lenient. The deal called for Betts to serve 10 to 15 years in federal charges of enticement and child pornography. Hale says federal guidelines call for a 27-year sentence. Betts' attorney Brian Butler says the delay has postponed a hearing at which Betts was expected to plead guilty to sodomy, which carries a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years in prison. Hale also delayed the sentencing of another Louisville officer, Brandon Wood, who's pleaded guilty to similar charges.
According to the Letcher County Sheriff's Office, several complaints have been received regarding citizens receiving a call from a male subject claiming to be with the Sheriff's Office. Authorities report the number 606-536-3070 is showing up as a Whitesburg number. EKBTV reports deputies have not discovered what the person is trying to accomplish by calling, but they are investigating. Sheriff Mickey Steins is urging residents to speak with their family members, especially the elderly, who may be targeted by this scam. Anyone receiving such a call or have any information is asked to contact the Letcher County Sheriff's Office at 606-633-2293. Taking a look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 46 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will become overcast in the afternoon, highs around 69 degrees. Wednesday night, a few clouds from time to time, lows around 51. On Thursday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, highs around 77. Thursday night, cloudy skies early, scattered thunderstorms developing later at night, lows around 63 degrees, chance of rain at 50%, and Friday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then cloudy skies late, highs around 84, with a chance of rain at 40%. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg it's 65, Lexington 67, Inez 64, Ashland 68, in Winchester 66, and in Moorhead it's currently 66 degrees.
Standardized compassionate care practices are being used to help babies with neonatal abstinence syndrome in Ohio. Ohio News Connection's Mary Sherman has the story.
A statewide effort to improve the care of innocent victims of Ohio's opioid epidemic is showing positive results. The Ohio Perinatal Quality Collaborative is aiming for better birth outcomes and fewer preterm births, Ohio's leading cause of infant mortality. More than 50 neonatal intensive care units monitored over 9,600 opioid-exposed babies for a five-year period in a project on neonatal abstinence syndrome, or NAS. Dr. Carol Lannon, on the collaborative's leadership team, says they focused on compassionate withdrawal treatment and letting the infant spend more time with the mothers.
By providing this compassionate care, supporting the mothers, and the great work of the clinical teams at the hospitals, we were able to reduce both the length of treatment and length of stay by about 2 days each.
She says with this approach, fewer babies needed medications for their opioid withdrawal over the five-year project. It's estimated that in 2015, one child was born every 25 minutes with neonatal abstinence syndrome, and Lannon says that number is steadily increasing. Lannon explains babies born with NAS experience both emotional and physical symptoms.
These infants can be more irritable. They can be more difficult to console. You can see trembling, tremors, excessive crying, not sleeping well, some yawning, stuffy nose and sneezing, and a little bit of hyperactivity.
Lennon adds she's pleased with the progress of the collaborative and says hospitals and doctors are learning from each other to create standardized, evidence-informed care across the state.
Sadly, Ohio has been one of the states on the leading edge of the opioid epidemic, and I think that people are really working hard to try to figure out how to improve care and outcomes for the moms and the babies.
The project was funded by the Ohio Department of Medicaid. Lannon says further efforts will focus on care during pregnancy and examining long-term outcomes for these infants. Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
It's 4:45 and 65 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kinsey Thompson, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us this Tuesday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at moreheadstate.edu/recreation.
WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County softball team hits the road again tonight. The 22-10 Vikings will face off with 19-9 Lewis County. Rowan fell to Johnson Central at home last night, ending an 8-game win streak. Rowan County head coach Larry Sloan says his team will have to be prepared for tonight's matchup.
Real good pitching, and you know, if we don't play very good defense, they're going to put it in play, and we have to play good defense in order for us to have a good opportunity.
First pitch tonight in Vanceburg is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other regional softball action scheduled for tonight, Raceland travels to Boyd County for a 5:30 matchup. East Carter travels to Ashland Blazer, and Fleming County heads to West Carter. Both of those games are scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. Looking at 16th regional baseball action for tonight, Elliott County hosts a doubleheader with Menifee. The first game is set to begin at 5:30. Boyd travels to Raceland, and Bath County travels to Estill County for the David Erie Foundation's showcase. Both those games are set to begin at 6 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's regional baseball and softball action tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County baseball team is preparing for their final game of the regular season. The Vikings travel to Grayson Wednesday night to face off with East Carter. Rowan County is coming off a big win over Paul Lawrence Dunbar Monday night, which moved the team to 32-3 on the season. Assistant coach Rob Ward says the win was good for his team.
I mean, you like going on a roll and staying on that roll and staying confident, but it always helps to kind of get that off your back and, you know, that monkey off your back, that loss, and just go in with a clear conscience. But right now, with the way our team's playing, we're just going to keep rolling and hopefully, see how long this train can keep going. But right now, it's been a fun ride.
Game time tomorrow in Grayson is set for 5:30 p.m. Facing the final non-conference battle of the 2019 season, Morehead State Baseball returns to Sunny Allen Field to host Dayton tonight. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
Morehead State enters the contest at 33-19 overall with a 16-11 Ohio Valley Conference mark. The Flyers from the Atlantic 10 Conference are 28-21-1 overall and are in second place in the league at 15-6. According to the MSU record book, the Eagles lead the all-time series 13-12 in a matchup that began in the 1991 season. The Eagles and Flyers have only played three times since the 2002 campaign, with that being a three-game series won by the Eagles 2-1 in Emerson, Georgia in 2015. Following Tuesday's tilt, MSU will remain at home for the OVC's final regular season series against Southeast Missouri. Game time tonight is set for 5 p.m., Fans can get in for just $2 by showing the $2 Twitter Tuesday graphic from at MSU Eagles. The game can be heard live on MSUEagles.com. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Cincinnati Reds are back in action this evening after having their first day off in 3 weeks. Cincy will be starting a three-game series with the Cubs. The Reds are most recently coming off a winning series against the Giants, where they went 2-for-3. Reliever Amir Garrett tells Reds.com he's been very happy to see the team pick up some momentum.
We're starting to get recognized, you know, not only our team, but our bullpen. I think we have a really good bullpen. We got a lot of veteran guys in there that been around for a while. And, you know, those guys rub off on to people like me, Robert, Wandy, all of us young guys in the bullpen. And, you know, they've had successful careers, and that's why they're around so long. And I think it's only going to help us.
First pitch this evening is set for 6:40 p.m. at Great American Ballpark. Former University of Kentucky running back Benny Snell is settling into his new role. Snell attended rookie camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers over the weekend. He tells WKYT there's a whole new learning curve with the black and gold.
It's like a lot of things you just got to think on the fly, and you got to know what you're doing. Like, there's like no messing up, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a business now. You got to always be on your toes. You got to be fundamentally sound. And I try to be a sponge. I try to listen to what any coach has to say to me so I can pick it up and I can be with the group and get the flow of things. So it's a learning process right now.
Preseason play for Pittsburgh is set for August 9th when they host the Buccaneers. And finally in sports this afternoon, the second jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown is this Saturday. Paul Miles has a preview.
For the first time since 1996, the Kentucky Derby winner will not run in the Preakness Stakes. Country House is skipping the race. So is Maximum Security, who crossed the Derby finish line first but was disqualified for interference. That makes trainer Bob Baffert's horse Improbable the likely Preakness favorite.
Yeah, we won't have the any of the Derby winners in there. So so we're going to be, you know, it's still going to be an exciting race. I think people show up.
Baffert is seeking his 8th Preakness win. Other Derby horses expected in the Preakness field include War of Will, Bodie Express, and Win Win Win. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena. Open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rallied sharply, regaining some of the losses from yesterday's session as investors weighed the impact of the escalating trade war between the U.S. and China. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 207.19, although well off of earlier highs at 25,532.18. The S&P 500 was up 22.54 at 2834.41, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 87.47 at 7734.49. Trade-sensitive stocks were obviously in favor today, with Boeing and Apple both gaining almost 2%. Caterpillar advanced 2%, while bank shares were also strong. Citigroup and Bank of America both rose more than 1%. Microsoft shares rose 1.4% to boost the NASDAQ, and Cisco also gained 1.7%. Cisco was upgraded by an analyst at Bank of America, touting it as the tech stock to buy amid rising U.S.-China trade fears. Coca-Cola shares were up almost 2% after Morgan Stanley upgraded it to overweight from equal weight. The bank named the soda maker its top mega-cap staples pick. Major indices, of course, tumbled yesterday after news that China plans to raise tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. imports beginning on June 1st, and the list of targeted goods ranges from TV cameras to tequila and includes a range of agricultural products. In the commodities markets, oil was up over 1%, finishing at $61.70 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,297.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 1%. In Asia, markets were weak, with the Hang Seng down 1.5% and the Nikkei down 0.625%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow and Visa, while the worst performers were United Health Group and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CenturyLink and Electronic Arts, while the worst performers were Ralph Lauren and Xylem. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Marathon Petroleum up 58 cents at $51.30, CSX up $1.47 at $78.24, Lowe's up $1.13 at $105.79, Fifth Third Bank up 30 cents at $27.38, and PPL Energy was down 27 cents to finish at $31.08. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some upcoming events in the area, a blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at St. Clair Healthcare in Moorhead from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents the Women's Choir Concert at 7 p.m. on Saturday, May 18th. Tickets are priced at $10 for adults and $5 for students.
The Round County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, June 3rd at the Round County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
The MSU Summer Arts Academy takes place June 9th through 15th at Moorhead State University. Offered to area high school students with an interest in music, theater, art and design, ceramics, and photography. These include housing, meals, activities, and instruction. Merit scholarships are available. More information by calling 606-783-2409.
The Carter County Shrine Club is sponsoring the first annual swap and sell market May 30th through June 1st at the Carter County Shrine Club Showgrounds in Olive Hill, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Vendors and campers are welcome. Admission is $1 per person, and kids under 12 are admitted free. Proceeds benefit the Carter County Shrine Club.
Taking a final look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 46 degrees. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will become overcast in the afternoon, highs around 69 degrees. On Wednesday night, a few clouds from time to time, lows around 51. Thursday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, highs around 77. On Thursday night, cloudy skies early, scattered thunderstorms developing later at night, lows around 63, chance of rain at 50%. On Friday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then cloudy skies late. Highs around 84, chance of rain at 40%. On Friday night, partly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Lows around 64 degrees. On Saturday, intervals of clouds and sunshine. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Highs around 85. Saturday night, a few clouds, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Lows around 64 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy, highs around 86 degrees. And finally, Sunday night, variable clouds with thunderstorms, especially during the evening. Lows near 65 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. Taking a final look at the listening area temperatures. In Flemingsburg, it is 65 degrees. In Lexington, 67 degrees. Inez, 64 degrees. In Ashland, 68 degrees. Winchester, 66 degrees. And in Moorhead, it's currently 66 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from MSPR staff Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Nacogdoches Miller, Leanne Akers, Cassidy Stearman, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Alan Lytle, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Ohio News Connection's Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Kenzie Thompson for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.